and when he returned, the coroner's inquest was over, and accidental death had been put on the death certificate. Case closed. The Grayling girls didn't know what had truly happened. Sari had been in high school, Mary in grammar school, when their mother died. They only knew what their father had told them. They were much too afraid of him to ask questions. Now, Mary was in her last year of high school, and Sari was a senior in college. Sari had majored in history in preparation for a law degree. She went to school in San Antonio, but wasn't allowed to live on campus. Her father had driven her back and forth every day. It was the same with Mary. Darwin wasn't having either of his daughters around other people. He'd fought and won when Sari tried to move onto the college campus. He was wealthy, and his children were targets, he'd said implacably, and they weren't going anywhere without one of his security people. Which was why Sari and Paul Fiore, head of security for the Grayling Corporation, were such good friends. They'd known each other since Paul moved down from New Jersey to take the job, while Sari was in her last year of high school. Paul drove the girls to school every day. He'd wondered, but only to Sari, why her father hadn't placed them both in private schools. Sari knew, but she didn't dare say. It was because her father didn't want them out of his sight, where they might say something that he didn't approve of. They knew too much about him, about his business, about the way he treated animals and people. He was paranoid about his private life. He had women, Sari was certain of it, but never around the house. He had a mistress. She worked for the federal government. Paul had told her, in confidence. He wasn't afraid of Darwin Grayling. Paul wasn't afraid of anyone. But he liked his job, and he didn't want to go back to the FBI. He'd worked for the Bureau years ago. Nobody knew why he'd suddenly given up a lucrative government job to become a rent-a-cop for a Texas millionaire in a small town at the back of beyond. Paul never said, either. Sari touched Mary's slightly bruised cheek and winced. "I warned you about talking back, honey," she said worriedly. "I'm so sorry." "My mouth and my brain don't stay connected," Mary laughed, but bitterly. Her blue eyes met her sister's. "If we could just tell somebody." "We could, and Daddy would make sure they never worked again," Sari said. "That's why I've never told Paul anything." She bit her lip. But Mary knew already. She hugged the taller girl.
"I won't tell him. I know how you feel about Paul."
"I wish he felt something for me," Sari said with a long sigh. "He's always been affectionate with me. He takes good care of me, but it's... I don't know how to say it. Impersonal?"
She drew away, her expression sad.
"He just doesn't get close to people. He dated that out-of-town auditor 2 years ago, remember? She called here over and over, and he wouldn't talk to her. He said he just wanted someone to go to the movies with, and she was looking at wedding rings."
She laughed involuntarily. She shook her head.
"He won't get involved."
"Maybe he was involved and something happened," her sister said softly. "He looks like the sort of person who dives into things head first. You know, all or nothing. Maybe he lost somebody he loved, Sari."
"I guess that would explain a lot."
She moved away, grimacing.
"It's just my luck to go loopy over a man who thinks a special relationship is something you have with a vehicle."
"It's a very nice vehicle,"
Mary began.
"It's a truck, Mary,"
she interrupted, throwing up her hands.
"Gosh, you'd think it was a child the way he takes care of it. Special mats, taking it to the car wash once a week. He even waxes it himself."
She glowered.
"It's a truck." "I like trucks," Mary said. "That cowboy who worked for us last year had a fancy black one. He wanted to take me to a movie."
She shivered.